Our text this evening is 2 Timothy, and I want to continue my series of 2 Timothy, and we'll be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17, and you can find it in your pew Bible on page 1269. I know it's been a while since I last time preached on this chapter. I want to just remind you that in the first part of this chapter, Paul was describing, he was predicting times of difficulty that were about to come. He was describing how people would behave, that they would be lovers of pleasure, lovers of self, but not lovers of God. And then in the second part of this chapter, Paul turned his attention from the people to Timothy. He addressed directly to Timothy, "You, however, as for you, Timothy, you must act differently. You must resist the temptation to go with the world, and you must hold fast to the Lord by holding fast to the Word of God." And this is how we got that familiar passage, the familiar verse, 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." We need to remember the authority and the sufficiency of Scripture, especially in this age of difficulty when people despised and turned away from the Word of God. Now please turn your attention to the Word of God, the very breath of God, which was able to give you life and make you wise for salvation. "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconia, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Let us pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you breathed out your word to us. And we pray that as we hear your word being preached, we receive your breath of life, and we will be refreshed by your word, and our hearts will be filled with delight and joy as we hear you speaking to us, speaking life and light into our lives. So Lord, help us to see that how profitable and how wonderful your word is. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, this summer our family visited Thailand. The purpose of this trip was to explore the possibility of starting a mission work with the Chinese group in Thailand, because we had heard that many Chinese Christians, because of persecution arising in China, had to leave their homeland and move to Thailand. And we were hoping to join them, to labor side by side with them, so that the gospel that had thrived in China might spread to Thailand as well. So it's like Acts 8, when early Christians were persecuted and scattered, they carried the gospel with them, and churches were established wherever they went. So that was my vision that was made me really excited to go to Thailand. And I was discouraged to find out on this trip that it was not the vision of the Chinese Christians in Thailand. Actually, few of them wanted to stay in Thailand. Most of them wanted to come to America. Thailand was just the first stop, and America was the final destination of their exodus from China. And I want to be clear, I'm not critical of my fellow Christians. They were forced to leave their homeland. They're struggling to support their families in a foreign land, and they're still holding fast their faith in Jesus. And I praise God for that. I was discouraged simply because I find myself in the minority. When I was trying to find a way to go from America to Thailand, I realized that the mainstream was in the opposite direction, to go from Thailand to America. And swimming against the tide was a lonely and a frustrating struggle. But isn't this a common experience of every Christian in every nation and in every age? It doesn't matter where you live, whether in China or in Thailand or in America, real Christians always end up being in the minority. True believers are always swimming against the trend of the world, moving in the opposite direction of the crowd. And that was how the Apostle Paul felt when he wrote in this letter, "No one stood by me, but all deserted me." And that was how Timothy was about to face, for the time was coming when people would not endure sound teaching, but would turn away from listening to him. And this is how all Christians should expect to experience. Because Paul writes in verse 12 of this evening's passage that all who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So this verse presents us two contradictory trajectories. While the world is going from bad to worse, descending into more and more ungodliness, Christians are moving in the opposite direction. And we are to seek to live a godly life, to strive more and more to die to sin and live unto righteousness. So there's a head-to-head clash. And this clash is inevitable. And the Christians, being the minority, are guaranteed to be persecuted and scattered by the majority. So the real question for us is not how to avoid persecution or how to make Christianity the majority religion of this nation. The real question for us if they're realizing that we will always be the minority, how can we hold fast our confidence in Jesus? How can we stay in the way of the truth, although the whole world is walking, moving in the opposite direction? How can we still rejoice in the Lord as we are either in the prospect of persecution or in the midst of persecution? In this evening's passage, give us three exhortations which are designed to strengthen us against the temptation to yield and drift. And these exhortations are associate, abide, and advance. Associate, abide, and advance. Let's look at the first exhortation, the exhortation to associate. While Christians will always find themselves in the minority, Christians should never take this journey alone. Christians should always be intentional to associate with like-minded fellow believers for mutual encouragement. In verse 10, Paul reminds Timothy that although he may feel discouraged by the increasing opposition around him in Ephesus, he must not think that he is the only one who's fighting the good fight. Yes, Timothy is taking a narrow path that few are willing to venture with him, but it's not a path that no one has trod. No, for Timothy has followed Paul. He has received Paul's teaching. He has imitated Paul's conduct. He has shared Paul's aim in life. He has observed Paul's faith, patience, love, and steadfastness. And above all, he has witnessed Paul's persecutions and sufferings. On his first missionary journey at Antioch, Paul was kicked out of the city. And then at Iconia, he had to flee because the people of the city plotted to kill him. And then at Lystra, which was actually Timothy's hometown, Paul was actually stoned and dragged out of the city. And the only reason he survived was because his persecutors thought he was already dead. And then on his second missionary journey, Paul went back to Lystra, and he invited Timothy to join him. Can you imagine that? At the very place where he was nearly killed, he was trying to recruit a promising young man with the expectation that in every city, imprisonment and afflictions were waiting for him. And Timothy said yes. Although this decision cost him dearly, and he did end up in many, many persecutions along with Paul, but he never regretted it. And Paul wants to remind Timothy that you have followed me through all these sufferings, through all these persecutions, but you have never regretted joining me. Oh, brothers and sisters, do you see the beauty of Christian companionship that the world never understands? The world says, join me and I will make you rich, I will make you famous, I will make you successful. But Paul says, come with me, and I guarantee you poverty, shame, and suffering. The devil says, if you worship me, if you will worship me, I will give you the glory of all the kingdoms of the earth. But Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So it's no surprise that the majority will follow the world, the path of the world. And the real mystery, there is a small minority who is willing to pay the cost, who is willing to follow Jesus, who is willing to take path of the cross and go through many tribulations, even to death. And there is great joy and comfort if you can find someone who is willing to accompany you on this journey while the whole world is moving in the opposite direction. In Pilgrim's Progress, Christian the Pilgrim started his journey alone. He met many people on his way to the celestial city, but none of them was a true pilgrim. None of them really shared what he believed. Some of them led him astray, and some of them discouraged him from going on. But finally, he met Faithful, and he was overjoyed to find a companion at last, with whom he could exchange delightful conversations about their king and about the celestial city that they were aiming for. And then after Faithful was martyred at Vanity Fair, he met Hopeful, and they encouraged and supported each other throughout the rest of the pilgrimage. Without the companionship of Faithful and Hopeful, Christian would never have made it to the end. So brothers and sisters, who's your Faithful and who's your Hopeful? Have you eagerly sought out godly companions who will help you when you stumble, who will strengthen you when you fear, who will encourage you when you despair, who will admonish you when you go astray? The journey is too dangerous and too difficult for you to go alone, so you must associate with fellow pilgrims. Associate with those who are mature than you. Ask them to teach you, to disciple you, to coach you. But also associate with those who are at a similar stage of faith to yours. Share with each other what you have read from the Bible, what you have experienced on your journey, and pray with one another and hold each other accountable. And associate with those who are younger than you in faith. Ask about their questions. Ask about their struggles. Show them care and give them counsel. Many people may refuse to accept your company, but if only you can find a few like-minded companions who want to come along with you, your journey would be much more pleasant, much more delightful, much more endurable. So this is the first exhortation. Associate. Associate with like-minded fellow pilgrims on your journey to the celestial city. Now let's look at Paul's second exhortation, the exhortation to abide. The world is always enthralled by something new, new theories, new discoveries, new methods. But Christians are called to abide, abide in what we have believed. Paul says in verse 13, evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse. And the Greek verb Paul uses in this verse can also be translated as progress. So Paul acknowledges that the world is making progress, but the irony is that it's progressing in the wrong direction. It's moving from bad to worse. And that is what we are observing in our own age, in our own society. While the world is progressive, Paul urges Timothy to be unmoved. He says in verse 14, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and what you have firmly believed." And he reminds Timothy that he has learned it since his childhood from his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. But ultimately, he has learned it from the sacred writings, from the Word of God. All scripture is breathed out by God. All scripture is the Word of God that comes from the mouth of God. And this is the foundation of our belief. This is the source of our knowledge. And this is where we must abide. We must abide in the Word of God. The reason the world is always changing, always seeking something new, something different, is because they have not found the truth, or they were not willing to accept, receive the truth. They are restless, and they are being tossed to and fro by every wind of new doctrine, always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth, because all they have learned is one lie after another, deceiving and being deceived, so that the more they learn, the further they drift away, and the worse they end up with. But as for you, brothers and sisters, you have found the fountain of living water. And how can you turn away from it and go to broken cisterns that can hold no water? And you have found the true wisdom that leads to salvation. And how can you turn away from it and embrace foolish lies that lead you to confusion and immorality? And you have smelled the fragrant breath of God. How can you turn away from it and inhale the foul stench of the dragon, the serpent? All scripture is breathed out by God. As Paul refers to the Bible as God breathed, he's not only affirming the divine authorship of scripture. I believe he's also emphasizing the intimacy of this act of divine revelation. God didn't roar his word to us. It didn't come to us as thunders, but he breathed it into us. It reminds us of what happened in Genesis 2. In the Garden of Eden, where God breathed into the nostrils of Adam the breath of life, and he became a living creature. But then Adam was deceived by the serpent, and he sinned against God, and he died, and we all died in him. But God didn't leave us in sin and death. He sent his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to us, who died for our sin and was raised from the dead. And then he breathed the spirit of life into us while we were dead in our trespasses, so that we may come alive, that we may open our eyes and be able to understand and believe what was written in the Bible, to believe in Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. All scripture is breathed out by God. I mean that every time we open the Bible, we should recognize, we should smell, we should sense the pleasant and familiar breath that has brought us to life. And we should never treat the Bible as a dead book. At the breath of God, at the breath of life, at the fresh breath of God, and it's always living and active, and it should always refresh our souls and delight our hearts. So, brothers and sisters, abide in the Word. Abide in Christ, who has breathed his Spirit and his Word into us. And if the world is turning away from the Bible and wandering into more and more ungodliness, let us affirm the confession of the Apostle Peter. O Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. If you have believed, you have come to know the Holy One of God, the beloved Son of God, who died for you and who gave life to you. And how can you turn away from him? How can you not abide in him and abide in his words of eternal life? So this is the second exhortation: abide. Abide in Christ, abide in his word. As the world is turning away from Christ, the world is turning away from the Bible, we must abide, because we have come to know and we have come to believe that this is truth and this is the only way of salvation. Finally, let's look at the third exhortation, the exhortation to advance. While Christians are called to abide, it doesn't mean that we are stuck and stagnant. But rather, the more we abide in Christ and in his word, the more we become like Christ, and the further we advance in our pilgrimage. In verse 16, we see the manifold use of Scripture. It is profitable for teaching, which is to show us the way of the truth. And it is profitable for reproof, which is to warn us when we have wandered or gone astray from the right path, the straight path. And it is profitable for correction, which is to tell us how to get back on track after we have gone astray. And it is profitable for training in righteousness, which is to lead us forward in the process of sanctification, enable us to advance from righteousness to more righteousness. And the end result that we may be complete, equipped for every good work, that we may appear before God in Zion, holy and blameless and without spot, without blemish. So brothers and sisters, are you growing? Are you advancing? Are you becoming more and more like Christ? And are you getting closer and closer to the celestial city? You may be reading the Bible every day, which is good, but are you being equipped and being transformed by the word that you have read? Are you being led and advanced by the word in the Bible? Do you intentionally and expectantly ask God to use his word to teach you, to reprove you, to correct you, and to train you in righteousness? The word of God is profitable for all these things. And if you are not profiting from it, it means that you are not treating God's word as it is. You're not using God's word as it is meant to be used. And you need to pray earnestly to God to open your eyes, to enlarge your heart, so that you may see the wondrous things in God's word, so that you may run in the way of God's commandments. I mentioned in the beginning I was discouraged in Thailand. And in God's providence, the day before we left Thailand, we came across the B family, who are RP missionaries to Central Asia, and they happened to be attending a missionary conference in Thailand. So we spent a wonderful afternoon together praying for one another, sharing with each other, and singing psalms together. And Andrew used God's word to exhort me to put my trust in word, in God, to abide in Christ. And I was so refreshed after that day, and I was revived again to be eager to see God's guidance for our family. So when I was discouraged on my trip, God knew what I needed at that time. And he associated me with the B family. He reminded me to abide in Christ and in his word. And he enabled me to advance still. So brothers and sisters, as you are making your pilgrimage to the celestial city, remember the exhortations in this passage. Associate, abide, and advance. And may the Lord of peace deliver you from every evil deed and bring you safely into his heavenly kingdom. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we thank you that although we find ourselves in the minority, we know that we have your word, word of eternal life. We know that we have no other place to go but to abide in your word and to abide in Christ. O Lord, help us to treasure your word, your scripture, to see that it is your presence, your aromatic, your fragrant breath, which refreshes us, which delights us. And we pray that we will make diligent use of your word for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. But Lord, help us to associate, to abide, and to advance. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.